Brunch met Annelie Bouwer op Groot FM 90.5.
Vandag gaan ek myself nou net hier mooi moet slim hou of net fake it till I make it, want ons gaan oorslaan na Engels eerstens en tweedens gesels ek met Dr. Adriana Maree. She's a theoretical physicist which already makes me wary. I'm sorry, I'm really, when it comes to science, I'm not brilliant. How are you, Dr.?
Dis baie lekker om hier met jou te wees. Baie dankie. Morning, everyone.
Good morning. So, Dr. Adriana, people who don't know you, you're a theoretical physicist. You were part of the Mars 100 crew. Quickly tell me about that.
Yes. So, first of all, I think we're all scientists, you know. A scientist is someone who's curious about the world around them, asks a lot of questions. Some of us just make a career out of it.
Some of us can't.
But we still ask questions.
That's true, we do. I ask questions for a living, so that's okay.
Exactly.
So you were originally part of the Mars 100 project, and you are still very adamant about the off-world project, which you are working on at this stage. Can you please elaborate on that?
Yes, so South African-born Elon Musk has established the company SpaceX, which is currently building transport systems to take humans to Mars. So a South African, I think, is a good person for the job, to be able to pull something like this off. And being often the richest person on the planet also helps, I think.
So certainly helps a lot.
So that's happening. So the question is, who's going to go? And as you've mentioned, I put my hand up a few years back when the Mars One project was asking for volunteers, and 100 of us made it through to the final round. But then, unfortunately, in 2019, the Mars One project declared bankruptcy. So that wasn't going to stop me. I mean, human expansion beyond Earth is one of the grandest, most exciting and aspirational projects that humanity has ever imagined. So I quit my corporate job in 2019. In retrospect, it wasn't the best time to quit a job because the pandemic then slammed us hard.
Oh, my word.
But I established Proudly Human, an organization that's running the off-world project to prepare for extreme conditions. Because let's be honest, things on Earth don't look to be getting less extreme, and things on Mars will be even more extreme. So extreme environments is what we do.
So you're trying to prepare for life on Mars or the Moon and beyond, as you say in your off-world project press release. What does this mean? You say over 18 months, Proudly Human will run a series of habitation experiments. What does this entail?
So human communities, whether we are looking at an informal settlement, an overcrowded city, or a group of people actually leaving the planet, require a similar set of infrastructure. And if we break that down, that is shelter, power, water, food, and communication systems. And I think communication systems we can't ignore, as we now know after the pandemic, critical. So these are the sets of infrastructural requirements that humans have, and whether we're preparing for climate change, you know, areas that are water scarce, areas that don't have existing infrastructure, power cuts, let me not speak more about that, getting off grid, whether we're on Earth or beyond, has a similar set of requirements. So that's what we're doing at Proudly Human, and we're going to make it fun. We're going to make it a documentary series, because we're going to be taking groups of around 12 people, 12 experts, carefully selected experts, to regions like the Namib Desert, it is the oldest desert on Earth, one of the driest, and we're going to arrive in a completely remote location there and set up all of our infrastructure from scratch and live and work as a research community for the duration of the experiment and record the whole thing. So we are taking applications for these experiments, but if people would rather enjoy them from the comfort of their couch, then it'll be a documentary.
That will be me. I'm not going to lie. I'm an adventurer, but I think not that adventurous. I've been in the Namib Desert, but with the comforts of all my camping gear and everything I need. So I have to tell you, hats off to what you are trying to achieve here. And I think a lot of people might think that you are crazy to try and do this, but it's exactly the opposite, because you have a background in theoretical physics, as we already said, and your PhD and postdoctoral work in quantum biology focused specifically on photosynthesis and the origins of the building blocks of life in space. So you know what you're talking about when you are talking about space.
Yeah, so I find myself dealing with quite a different set of challenges now, like composting toilets and wastewater, growing food in small spaces. After the desert, we plan to go to the poles. So for South Africans, that's probably more extreme than the Namib Desert, where a lot of us have visited.
Sure.
So the polar night is actually what we're aiming for, to experience the disruptions to the circadian rhythm due to a lack of a 24-hour day-night cycle, which we're obviously used to in general. So we want to spend 40 days in the polar nights. Then we're going to live under the ocean.
Oh, wow.
So off the Florida Keys is the only underwater habitat on the planet. It's around 10 meters underwater, and we take our team down there and live there in the attempt to beat the world record, which is currently 73 days.
That is unbelievable. I can't wait to see this documentary. I think it's going to be everything from Big Brother to Survivor to all the reality shows we know in one.
Exactly, with the space element on top of it. So the question still remains, right? Who will be those crews that travel in the Starship, if SpaceX gets it right, to Mars? So we're putting up our hands and saying Africa needs to play a role in space exploration. And in fact, our expertise at getting off-grid, whether we want to or not, looking at the South African power situation, we're good at the environments that are extreme.
That's true.
We are hardy. We've got a lot of technology companies that are building the atmospheric water extraction, the wastewater management systems, indoor agriculture. We're putting up our hands as a continent and as humans, of course, to say, let's start training. Because with climate change, there's a lot of overlap between this kind of preparation to leave the planet and to live more sustainably on Earth. So we can do both.
That is amazing, and that was actually my next question. I actually have two questions for you. The first one I want to know is, if you put up your hand to do the Mars expedition, it probably or most certainly mean that you will not be coming back. Is that something that scares you?
So that was very good, right? That made an impact on people. That was a great marketing campaign from the Mars One project. So they didn't have a founder that was the richest person on Earth. So they were actually trying to cut costs.
Oh, wow.
It's a one-way trip. Because, right, for the listeners out there, logically, if you can get there,
you can get back.
Why can't you get back? So luckily the Starship is a reusable rocket technology. I'm sure many of us have seen SpaceX landing and then relaunching rockets. That's what they're doing, reusing rockets. So it won't necessarily be a one-way trip, but it's 200 million kilometers away.
Oh, my word.
And anything can go wrong on the way or once you're there or on the way back. So I think you need to make peace. This
is not a
trivial
trip.
And that's, I think, this would be the grandest possible outcome of my life. You know, death is the one guarantee in this lifetime. So it's not about avoiding death. It's about living life to the fullest. And we each have our own vision of what that means. Not all of us need to leave the planet, please. Some of us need to stay safe and look after our beautiful home planet Earth. But for some of us, living our best lives means exploring beyond where humans have been before. And Mars is on the cards. For the first time in human history, we are able to land there. I mean, even during the lockdown, We had three missions landing or arriving to Mars for the first time. The United Arab Emirates sent a mission, China sent a mission, and the U.S. So we're getting better at it. More countries are developing capabilities to do this. So what an exciting thing on the horizon for humanity, in amongst all the challenges we also face here on Earth.
That's amazing to think that the human race is already at a stage where we can say we might be able to live on Mars one day. So now my question is, do you think that it will make life on Earth, or life for Earth, not for humans, better if some of us leave and go and live on another planet?
Yeah, then I often get requests for people. Can so and so please come with you to Mars? Because we're done with him. Yeah, I mean, we do have a lot of humans on Earth, but I think that's not the key problem. Some people would claim population is the key problem, but I think the way we live is more the thing we need to reflect on. You know, the top 10% of the humanity in terms of economic wealth are utilizing by far the majority of the resources on Earth. So when we look at Africa as a continent, we don't have the biggest resource consumption footprint. So that makes us, I think, ideally suited to think about resource constraints. Because if there's a place to practice being more efficient with our resource use, it's space, because things are touched there. No wastage is possible. Wastage means death. You need to recycle all your water. You need to grow food in extremely small spaces. There's no such thing as waste. You will recycle every molecule back into the system as a resource again. So I think that thinking, even thinking about living on Mars, is a great way to start developing the kinds of technologies that we need to live on Earth with a lighter footprint, so without destroying so much of the natural habitat that we are currently doing in order to sustain our cities, etc. We need to live in harmony with the environment, whatever planet we're on. And Mars is an extreme place to demonstrate what's possible, but as we know, you know, exploration drives innovation. When we're in a tight spot or exploring the unknown in an unknown environment, this is the time when new ideas come out, and maybe thinking about living on Mars is exactly the kind of inspiration we need here on Earth to prepare for climate change and living in a much more resource-efficient way than the way we currently live.
Well, you said at some point, you said the reason you want to explore beyond Earth is simple. You said it's the allure of the unknown is far more powerful than the comfort of the known. And maybe it's because of the comfort we have that we take it for granted and that we don't necessarily look after it.
Yes, so in many ways, I think that's why we need to think of the, let's be honest, the challenging situation we face in South Africa right now as an inspiration to do things differently. We've been put out of our comfort zones, and as a result, many people are thinking about alternative ways to generate power for their businesses, for their communities, if you have enough money for your household. But I think more importantly is the community-based approach to thinking about alternative power systems. That's just an example. You know, water systems, let me not say that water scarcity is another huge challenge on our horizon, whether we're looking at aging infrastructure or just a lack of rainfall because of the shift in climate that we're seeing. So we should celebrate the challenges that we face because they will drive innovation. And in that way, I think in South Africa, we can be ahead of the curve in terms of developing systems for the future where we manage these resources like power and water more efficiently.
Doc, I have to say that you are a superwoman in my eyes. You have your one PhD. You are actually working on your second one. You are working on the Foundation for Space Development in Africa, developing Africa's first mission to the moon, the Africa to Moon Project. You're working on this extreme survival for Mars. You're doing a lot of things. If you can inspire young girls to go into science, what would you tell them?
So, as I've said, I think if anyone likes asking questions and sits around wondering why things are the way they are, and especially nowadays, I think a lot of us are scratching our heads saying, why on earth is this the way we are doing things? I would say we don't even need to focus on science. We just need to focus on that observation of reality and thinking, can we do things better? And so all those curious young people out there, girls, we need you in science, boys also, we need all of the curious humans to sit together and ask questions. Question, is this the best way of doing things? And if it's not, we need to design a better way to do that. So my advice would be, for example, for people leaving school and maybe embarking on a postgraduate research, I think surrounding yourself by people where there's mutual respect, where you respect the person and that person has respect for you, is really important. Whether you're starting a business or enrolling in a master's program or whatever you're doing in life, I think surrounding yourself by teams of people who are like-minded is really crucial. There's got to be mutual love, mutual empathy, and of course that common vision. So seek out those people, work together with them, because only through collaboration and cooperation, I think, can we achieve these huge goals that we need to achieve, which is like creating a better future than the reality we're currently in.
Wow, that's a great answer. So my last question, and we're asking all the women this month because it's Women's Month. So I want to know, what do you think is your or then a woman's superpower?
Uh-huh.
I'm not making it easy, but you do have a PhD, so I think
we just have so many. I'm trying to choose. No, I think compassion. I think compassion has been undervalued in our society. So, you know, we value asking questions and being curious and exploring and going out into the world. But what about the team that does that? What about the glue that keeps that team together? And I think this is something that women and girls are good at, and that is sensing the mood, being sensitive to what your other teammates are feeling and experiencing. Because having a team that is on the same page, having a team that's united, having a team that's happy, or at least satisfied, yeah, is the way that we can achieve what we're working towards. So let's put compassion into what we do. Let's think about the impact our projects are having on others. Let's think about the impact our actions are having on others. Because only together are we going to be able to create a future we can be proud of, whatever planet we're on.
Dr. Murray, this is an amazing interview. Thank you very much. I wish I had more time. I have so many questions still. If people want to follow your journey, where can they go and look?
So proudthehuman.com is our website where you can read more about these experiments and even apply to join one of the teams of experts. Otherwise, yeah, follow us on social media. And, of course, we hope to film and eventually launch our documentary series soon. So we're aiming for a big broadcast, maybe National Geographic or something like that. So, yeah, watch this space.
It's going to be amazing. Good luck with everything that you're doing, and thank you for your time today.
Thanks so much for having me. It was great to chat. Have a great day.
Bye.
Annelie Bouwer, weeksoggende tussen 9 en 12 op Groot FM 90.5.